Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning again. Welcome to God's house this morning. We are so excited about the things God has in store for us. This morning is a great day of celebration for us, and also so many things are coming. So many events are coming. I know in February we're going to have a church dinner. You don't know that yet, but you'll be finding out very soon. We're going to have a church dinner here. Our first since COVID, okay? So we're getting back on track with some things that we once did, and there'll be a meeting at my home very soon. So we're getting excited about 2023. But today, I know we're few in number this morning, but it's a day of celebration for us. And I guess the verse for me would be, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have the honor this morning. We're going to be receiving into membership. I know this is, Tony Pacina is very, him and Leslie are very thankful. Tony Jr. and his beautiful wife, Erica, and children, Ava and Vivian, if you would come up here. And my children, Grace and Caleb, my grandchildren, are going to be joining them. And they're going to be received as official members of Christian Fellowship Church this morning. And they are of age to be received as members. So Grace and Caleb, if you would come up, we can find Caleb somewhere. And we're going to receive them as official members of our church this morning. Now, what I want to tell you about all of these who are standing here is they completely fulfill the qualifications to be a member. These are supporting members of this church. They financially support this church. Not only do they financially support this church, they're all in some type of ministry. You've even heard Ava and Vivian sing songs. They are already, I'm telling you, in some type of ministry. So as soon as we get Caleb up here, we're going to pray over these that are here this morning. And if you would stand with us, go ahead and stand with us. Pastor Ken's going to say a prayer of blessing over them, and we're going to bless them here in just a few minutes. We're just waiting on Caleb. So if you want.
I think all of us have watched all of these adults and children. We've watched them grow up for so many years, and it's so cool. It's so amazing to see children grow into adults and continue to serve the Lord. So Tony and Erica, I'm proud of both of you, and God has had his hand on your life from the time that you were smaller than your girls. God has been directing your paths, and So the plan is to serve him all the days of our life. And Ava and Vivi, we're so thrilled at what beautiful and amazing women you're going to become, women of faith. And we're going to pray over their future also, that God has amazing plans for them and for their future. And as we wait for Caleb, I just want to say, Grace, that you were named perfectly. You know what you know, there's the subject of grace is so amazing. It's so cool to have a name that's called Grace. And Caleb, you also have a pretty strong biblical name. Caleb was one of only two people that had enough faith that spoke, "We can do this." Everyone else said, "We can't do that," but he had the right words. So we're going to pray for their everyone's future here today, because the enemy has plans too that are going to be thwarted, because God's going to bless you. So we're going to speak as a church blessings over all these. Heavenly Father, we bless these families. Father, we bless Tony individually. We bless Erica. We bless Ava. We bless Vivi. Father, we bless Grace and we bless Caleb. We pray for the future of every single one of these, that, Father, that you would not only bless them with material things, but more importantly, their lives would be full. Their lives would be rich. Their lives would be full of peace and full of joy. We speak to any mountains that may arrive, and we say, mountain, be cast into the sea and be gone. We speak and we apply the blood of Jesus. We say the blood of Jesus is on each of their heads, on each of their homes. It's there at the front door. We apply it right now, the protection of God. And that, Lord, you order their footsteps, that every step they take, nothing surprises you. Father, 20, 30, 40 years from now, may they still be serving God strongly and bringing in the next generations to serve you. Lord, thank you for each and every one of these precious, precious people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Amen.
Be sure and welcome them after service. This morning we are so honored and so blessed just to be here. It was supposed to have 6 inches of snow, but Pastor Ken will tell you that someone prayed it away completely.
So this was like 2 days ago or a day ago, and you know, the Weather Channel was saying 6 inches, and Pastor Pam told me, she said, there won't be 6 inches. She says, I'm going to pray it away because we need those roads to be clear. We need to have church. So prayer works. Amen.
It does. I know some of the rest of you were praying too. And I told Dave last night, I made the remark that if the snow plows of the city of Chicago can remove snow, I think God can remove it too. So, you know, take it, you know, elsewhere. Danny, we're glad to have you and your girlfriend this morning. Just so blessed that you could come and be with us. It's an honor that we have guests among us, and so we got to act right. We got to act nice. So, you know, not just like we're, you know, uncultured or anything.
We will turn this church around.
Yeah, and we're glad about our membership this morning and so much. Please pray for, there are two babies associated with this church that just a few days ago, they're in ICU, and I'm going to be going to Christ Hope Hospital tonight at about 5:30 to pray for one of them, Isabella, and Zoe Lynn, whom we dedicated on a Sunday morning. You remember Miriam Veras. She's in University of Illinois, ICU too. So please pray for these little precious children and so much. And you can throw me in there Tuesday. I'll be having eye surgery on both eyes, so throw me in there too when you think of me. God is faithful. God is faithful. And this morning we're going to be talking about the power of our words and the power of God's words. And wow, what a subject. And you think, well, I've heard this before. No, you need to hear it again. I need to hear it again. Words have power. They have power to create, but they have power to destroy. They have power to heal. They have power to hurt. I say it like this, words, your words that you speak, they're either medicine or poison. Which are they? We have to ask ourselves, did I just give someone a dose of medicine, or did I speak words that are poison to their soul? And words build up or they tear down. And have you ever heard this saying? I know my mom and dad used to say it. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Don't say it at all. Keep your words to yourself. We need to purpose to speak God's words. And I hear all the time people saying, well, I don't think words have that much power. You know, no, that's just not true. I think Joyce Meyer says it. You need to think about what you're thinking about and think about what you're speaking about, because words do have power. I'll give you one quick story in case you don't believe me that words have power. In the year of 2022, which was just recently, a man named Sullivan Walters had spent 36 years in a Louisiana prison, in a hard prison, 36 years for a rape that he did not commit because of false accusation. Don't tell me that words don't have power. Words do have power. I said they have power to hurt, power to heal. The words you speak should not, when someone leaves your presence after hearing your words, they should be encouraged. They should not feel like I just got hit with a dagger. And I know that that's happened to me, and it must have happened to you several times. Sometimes you hear words that sound like words of rejection, but just don't speak them. Don't let them come from you. If they're coming from someone else, I'm going to read to you a couple more things before I give this to Pastor Ken. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit of. We need to remember to taste our words before we spit them out. It's the toothpaste experiment. Have you ever seen the toothpaste experiment where they squeeze out the toothpaste and then they tell a child, put the toothpaste back in the tube? It is impossible. Same thing with words. Same thing with words. We need to be careful of our words. And did you notice that it said death and life? Someone could be wrongly convicted and it could cost them their life. False accusation, words of lies. And it works in reverse, which is our good news for the day before I give this. It works in reverse. You could tell, I heard the story, and I love this story. I've seen it many times on social media, of a babysitter years and years ago who used to draw this little girl. She used to have her draw when she was babysitting, draw this, draw that. And she would say, you know, she would hang up the drawings for the little girl all over the refrigerator. I'm taking this one home. Look, I framed this one. I did this with this drawing. And years later, she met up with this girl's mother, and the mother said, she's in one of the most prestigious art schools that there is. Should that be a surprise? Someone. Now, that babysitter could have just taken those pictures, torn them up, and said, thrown them in the garbage. You find them in the garbage later. But she didn't do that. She spoke words of life. She spoke into her future. Your words, I want to say one more thing. They are prophetic. You are speaking into someone's future, even if it's yourself.
Yes, we should choose our words so carefully. And there's probably 1,000, 10,000 examples of children who were given the right words that encouraged their life. Or the opposite, as Pam said, who were told they were ugly, told that they were stupid, and just spent their whole life believing those falsehoods. So yes, our words are so prophetic. People are so hungry to be accepted and to know that they are loved, that we don't need any more people with giftings of telling other people what's wrong with them. The Bible tells us the exact opposite, that we're called to edify one another, doesn't it? Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is of good report. You can so turn around someone's day. Just those small acts of kindness that you choose. Not someone coming up to you in the street saying, give me money. But you being led by the Holy Spirit to say, believe me, $20 to someone that has no money, you've just brightened their day. And they're thinking to themselves, some God did this for me. Because people are not normally kind. Kindness is one of those things that is so underrated. We just say, yeah, be nice, be kind, be gentle. But it's lacking in, you know, basic just being friendly, just reaching out to people and loving people instead of always looking out for ourselves, always being selfish with our life. We have to look for others. Now, the title that Pam gave this was, let me make sure I get it right because I want to show you something here. Okay, this was her official title. The Power of Our Words, The Power of God's Words. So check this out. So the power of our words, the power of God's words. What if your words were God's words? Then you would never have a conflict. The conflict is when our word contradicts God's word. And I want to be completely transparent and honest with the church. I give myself a C- in this area, maybe a D. I've been convicted lately by the Holy Spirit that I have allowed myself to speak out things that were negative, that were self-defeating, that were what I was doing. And it's easy to fall into this trap. I was prophesying destruction over my own life. saying, agreeing with the enemy instead of agreeing with God. So we should never underestimate the prophetic words. You've got to think of your words. There are no cheap throwaway words. If every sprinkle on every donut counts, Pam, right? That's what she says. Every sprinkle on every donut, it counts. But so does every idle word. Always have that ability to cut or to heal. So words are prophetic. Psalm 19:14 says that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Psalms 34:13 says, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. And then one more from Proverbs 16 says, gracious words are like a honeycomb. They are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I like that the man told Jesus, speak the word only. Just speak the word only. Words have the power of healing nations. They have the power of healing individuals. And like Joyce Meyer said, you do have to think about what you're going to even say, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you find yourself speaking things that are negative, not only do you have to turn that around, but that's a symptom. Why would I be speaking negative things? There must be something wrong with my heart, so I need a heart refresh to see things.
It's so true, and you know my classic line, in any crisis situation, the first words that come out of your mouth, those are the words that set the tone for the outcome of the situation. And we are going to all have problems, and it's not so much the problem, it's how we respond to the problem, and especially how we respond with our words is one of the things and the situation. But here's a verse, Mark 11:23, that's actually talking about the mountains or the problems in your life. And it says, for assuredly I, this is Jesus speaking, I, Jesus, say to you, Pastor Ken, to Rick, to Cheryl, to Maribel, to Leslie, to Alan, I say to all of you, whoever says to this mountain, this big problem, a mountain is a big problem, be removed, get away from me, mountain, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says, not which he does, those things which he says will be done. He will have whatever he says, which is that big problem has to go away. Notice that Jesus did not one time in this verse say, pray about the mountain. Pray about the big problem you have in your life. Why don't you get on your knees and pray about it? He did not say that. Very interestingly, he said, speak to the problem. Speak to the mountain and tell it, go away, be cast away, throw away with your mouth. This is an interesting thing. He never, ever said that. And have I done my part in speaking those words of authority? If I have authority to speak to the mountain, then I should speak to the mountain. But here's what we do. We don't speak to the problem, the mountain. We speak about the mountain. Let me tell you about my mountain, Ken. Let me tell you about the problem that I have. I have this problem. Ken, you know this is a big problem. How am I going to solve this problem? What am I going to do? Can you do anything for me? Because I got a big problem, and here's what it is, and here's the details of it. And I can spend hours. And I call him later, hey, have you thought of anything about that problem that we could do about that mountain? I should be speaking not to him. I should be speaking to the mountain. I should be speaking to the problem. You've got to get out of here. You got to go. Now, I told you many times, you've heard this story, the jewelry store. You can see it online, Google, YouTube, whatever. The woman who owned the jewelry store, who the man came in, and she's a believer. And the man's got, you know, he's robbing her. He's got a gun in her face. And she's like, in the name of Jesus. She's pointing her finger. He's pointing a gun. And she's, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. In the name of Jesus. He proceeds to back out of the store. Notice something. She did not stop and pray, dear God, God in heaven, please ask this burglar, get him out of here. I don't need a burglar in my store. She spoke to the mountain and said, go, 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 go. If she resisted the enemy because words have power. If I want to make a statement that's a very powerful statement, if you'll wrap your head around it. When you take control of your tongue and your words, you can take back your life. You can turn things around if you will take control of your tongue. if you will say the right things and not say the wrong things. Your tongue can get you in a terrible, terrible situation. I also heard another story, and I don't mean to tell you story after story, but I loved this because I actually seen the video of the girl giving her testimony. There was a young lady who was a believer, and she was a fairly new believer. I think this is related to Rick Warren somehow. And she was taken hostage. She was taken hostage by a man. And this man was a known horrible, horrible person. His intent was eventually to kill her, so he took her hostage. She started talking to him. I wish I could talk to my mother. And he said, you ain't going to talk to your mother. You ain't going to talk to your mother. And she said, well, do you have a mother? Do you have a mother? I would talk to your mother. And it just took him aback. He's like, what? Yes, I do have a mother. And she was no good. Da-da-da. And she goes, and I'm sorry to hear that. She said, you know, God can. And they started dialoguing, talking. She didn't just like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. That was not the word she spoke. She talked directly to him. She was talking to the mountain. And she was saying, you know, I bet you've been hurt because I've had some hurts in my childhood. Have you ever been hurt? Oh, yes, I've been hurt. Now I'm going to. And do you know, in the end result was he let her walk out of that house. He let her walk out. You know, we need to ask God, help us with our words, Lord. Help us not speak like the world, but like the word. Help us, God.
The power of encouragement. You know, you're right. It is the very first things you say in a crisis is usually does set the tone. I love the story of Paul getting shipwrecked. Because what an emergency situation. Your boat is literally sinking and you're in a storm. You could easily imagine yourself panicking. What Paul did, first of all, when he was writing about it, he said, I have been encouraging myself. I always thought that was hilarious. If no one will encourage you, Paul said, I'm going to encourage myself. He's just standing in a mirror encouraging himself. But he got everyone together they were all freaking out, and he said, everybody listen up. I got something to say. And they're like, okay, we're all going to die. And he said, be of good cheer. That was his opening line. Everybody cheer up. I love that. He began to encourage them in the Lord, and he set the tone. And you know the story. Nobody died. They were shipwrecked, but that was part of God's plan. Is, you know, so they're floating on. They were floating on wooden beams. Does that tell you anything? The cross is a wooden beam, and so when you're going down, you always can cling to the cross. So let's look at some other examples in the Word of God where the words that people spoke were just so important. The person that was the most messed up in the Bible, if you had to say who was the furthest from salvation, I would say the man in the tombs that had thousands of demons. I mean, this guy was as insane as he could be. He was naked. He was chained up. He was living like an animal. And we're talking about the power of words. Even though he had at least 2,000 demons in him, and I'll prove that in a minute. You go, how do you know how many demons he had in him? At least 2,000 from the Word of God. Even though he was bound that much, he was still able to fall at Jesus' feet. He was still able to ask for help from God. That tells me that anybody, if he was the worst example, that no matter what you're going through, you still have the ability to prophesy over your own life. You still have the ability to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, I am cut. I am cut. And I am naked. And I am ashamed. And I am alone. And I am bound. But if it's Jesus you're talking to, he can do something about that. So Jesus speaks to the demons. He speaks to the mountain. And there were so many demons that bound this guy that they went into 2,000 pigs. That's how we know there was at least 2,000 of them. And all the pigs just jumped into the water and died. So no matter how you are bound, you can cry out to God. I like the fact that Jesus doesn't argue with the demons. He commands the demons. He knows he has influence. He knows that his words have power. When Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law, who was suffering from a fever, he spoke to the fever. He rebuked the fever. So many examples where the words of Jesus is what caused things to happen, because God watches over his word to perform it. So when Jesus spoke the word, God is watching over the word to perform it. When you speak the word, God's watching over his word to perform it. And if you had to summarize the Old Testament, wouldn't it be the whole story about how God brought them out of slavery and he brought them into freedom? But how did they respond? After they were saved, after the Red Sea was opened, after they got on the other side, the Bible said they grumbled, they griped, they complained, they blamed God. Why has God brought us out here to die? And God was so upset with them because they were speaking words of death. They were speaking words, but that's where Caleb came in. Joshua and Caleb. So before God said, you're going to roam for 40 years, Moses was ready to do this. God had told them they could do this. Joshua and Caleb were ready. Moses, as the commander, had told Caleb and Joshua, I'm going to give you this land. They'd already said, I want that mountain right there. It's mine. That's where my people are staying, that mountain. And 40 years later, God said, you're not going in. Everyone was complaining. So we're going to take 40 years. Only Joshua and Caleb are going in. So now these guys are older men. They got to be in their 80s or 90s. And they go back to Moses and they say, hey, remember 40 years ago you said we could have that mountain? We still want that mountain. I want that mountain. And he took it. He took it.
Words do have power. They have more power than we want to believe. We don't want to believe that the things we say on a daily basis, the chatter, does something, but it does. And no words, like Pastor Ken said, are throwaway words. And here's the way I see it. If we are speaking about our problem all the time, and we're not speaking the answer, we're not speaking Jesus, as the song says, I speak Jesus, which is an amazing song, we're actually advertising for the devil. What we're saying is, look what the devil can do. Look what he can do in my life. Look what he's done in my life. We are advertising for him. Either we're speaking words that glorify God, or we're speaking words that please hell. And I want to tell you something else about speaking words. When we speak words that are negative, words that are hopeless, or words that are fearful, and we speak these words, how many of you know that you can cause, that makes God sad? You're like, well, God's not sad. You think? Well, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By what we say and what we do. Mostly by what we say. God doesn't want to hear the negativity. Do you know why? It's the story of the king in olden days. When you went before the king, especially in Bible times, you had to have a smile on your face. And if you didn't, your head could be chopped off. And what you had to say, you had to be very careful with what you said. Because if you said the wrong thing to the king, same thing, off with your head. Because this is my kingdom, have I not provided you with food and clothing and all good things, and you got nothing but negative to say to me? That's how they did. How much more must it grieve the Holy Spirit when we're just talking about the problems? Something that years ago came to me when we were talking about, you know, the acronym for our church is CFC. And you know, way back then, you know, we had, you know, Wanda's been healed of cancer. So many have. Time and time, Willie's been healed of cancer. Ellen's been healed of cancer. And so many more. And all of a sudden, it's just like a light came on. CFC, we are a cancer-free church. I say it all the time. We are a cancer-free church. Do you hear that, cancer? I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to the mountain. We are a cancer-free church. We are a COVID-free church. Somebody tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, tell me, how many people in our church, and we've all just about had COVID, how many died? Somebody? Where's the number? Where is the number? Zero, because we're a COVID-free church. Now, I know that the enemy comes. We push him back. We resist him back. We say, by his stripes, I am healed. You know, COVID, we're speaking to you. Yes, there's a mountain here, but I speak to you to get out of my way because I have a promise. For every problem that I have in my life, God has a promise in his word. Why am I speaking the problem instead of the promise and glorifying the enemy instead of glorifying God? I love that song, by the way, that Erica and them sing, I Speak Jesus. I speak Jesus to every stronghold, every problem. Cancer must bow. COVID must bow. Arthritis must go. Autism, blindness, deaf and dumb spirits, mental illness, every unnamed disease, we rebuke and command them to leave by the authority we have to speak the word of God. I tell you, I mean, you can name people. I can say all week long, I speak healing over Vic's Aunt Julie. I speak healing over Stephen Gollinger. I speak healing over these babies, over Alan, over myself, over Sylvia, and just on and on. We have many words that we can speak that are life-giving words. Why would we speak negative all the time and grieve God? Now, there is a scripture in the Word, I have to say this, in James. And everybody knows what it is. Blessing and cursing should not come out of the same mouth. You go, well, no, I'm not cursing anybody. No, because you're in church today. I get it. You know, you're not going up to people cursing them. I get it. But Monday's coming. You're going home with that same family in that same car. And you are. And you're not going to agree, Ken, on where you go eat, what you're going to do next, what we should be doing. And that's why do you think God put that in the Bible, blessing and cursing? Because he knew about the Sunday-Monday situation, that Sunday's here. Now we're praising God. We're singing glory, 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 hallelujah, bless me, Lord. And then on Monday, we're blessing someone out instead. You know, and that's not how it should be. You know, we need to, and here's the thing, we need to learn to withhold those things. How many of you know that you don't have to say everything that just whips through your head? I don't like Vic wearing red. What's he wearing red for? It ain't Valentine's Day. What? What's going on here? You know, criticism. You know, why didn't they sing? You know, why didn't Tony know to sing that song, Enemies Camp Today? Why? You know, can't he think? Doesn't he have a mind? I mean, come on. Isn't that what we do? We don't have to say those things, do we? And you know what? We don't even have to think those things because that's not fair and right. We need to think on whatever is good and honest. Praise God for every song that was chosen was an anointed song of God. Praise God. Red reminds me of the blood of Jesus Christ. We can think good things. We can say good things. But you know what? It takes effort. It does take effort. It takes self-discipline. And sometimes we're a little bit lacking on that.
And once we have a critical spirit, and once we decide we don't like someone, then everything they do is wrong. The car they drive, the shoes they wear, don't you, the way they just breathe in and out,
irritating.
It's such a wrong way of looking at people. Yeah. If we could look at each other the way God looks at us, to see the beauty of people, to see the need that they have to be encouraged. People don't need to be told all their problems. They need a voice of encouragement, and you were designed for that purpose. We have to exercise our faith. And you know, when Pam is talking about praying about everything and just praying about this and praying about that, which the Bible says don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. So when she's talking about just pray for this person and pray for that person, you might be thinking, yeah, I kind of tried that and it didn't really work for me. So when I was like 10 years old, I would go to the batting cages because my father was hoping that I would be a great Major League Baseball player. But I'd go to the batting cages and, you know, you'd put a quarter in there and then 9 balls come. And so 9 balls would come and they'd all go right past me. And, you know, I know that 3 strikes are out. I just struck out 3 times. And my father was back there with a mountain of quarters. He just kept feeding them, just kept feeding the quarters, kept feeding the quarters. The point is, the fact that you miss, if you pray for something and it doesn't happen, what should you do? You should keep praying, Just keep, you know what I'm saying? You don't stop. You stay in faith. Don't worry that you don't understand everything. But I like that scripture. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. The Bible says that the tongue is a rudder. And I'm sure that everyone knows that when you're on a boat, when you're turning the wheel, you're turning the rudder. The rudder determines which way you go. So when the Bible says the tongue is a rudder, it's saying your tongue determines which way you go. So I like that, that it's a small member, it's hard to tame, but if you'll turn on the way you should go, then let the Holy Spirit provide the power to the boat, and then you can get moving in the right direction. So this may be a dumb thought, but you know, if you look at an overhead view of the city and the country, and there's lots of roads, but there's lots of not roads. Most of what's outside of this church is not roads, isn't that right? There's farms and there's all sides, but we do have a lot of roads. As I was driving to church today, one of those turnarounds were for the highway that you have to make a complete circle or whatever. There was a car that had slid off into the ditch. The Word of God is the roads. It's a path. And as long as you stay on the path, you can get to just about anywhere you want to go. But it's so easy to get off the path. Take your hands off the wheel, shut your eyes, just don't pay attention, and then you're off into a ditch. But thank God for roads, that we have a road map, which is the Word of God, that we can stay on and we can stay safe.
Amen. I want to warn you, say a couple things here, because we're getting ready. When we're hurting, we need to be very careful about the words we're speaking, especially when we're hurting. There's a saying that says, hurt people, hurt people. It's kind of true. It shouldn't be that way. It wasn't that way for Joseph, but a lot of times it happens. So if you recognize that you're hungry, you're hurting, you're in pain, watch the words that you speak, because words absolutely do matter. And sometimes it's not even what you say, it's how you say it. And I always ask the Lord, you know, if especially when I'm ministering to somebody or counseling somebody, just anoint my voice. Don't let it come across in a negative way, in a bad way. Because you can say the nicest things. You can reject someone with a beautiful voice. But it's how you say it, and it's what you... let God anoint your voice. You know, I had an experience this week where I was really, really going through something really, really hard and really just a struggle. And Lucy Gollinger over here started writing me some things. And it wasn't, you know, you're just a loser, you know, you just don't get anything. It was compliments. It was things that encouraged my soul. She didn't even know I needed to hear that. But the words that she said really healed my soul in a place that she couldn't even know about. So the words that we speak matter. I always tell people this in counseling couples. There are things that you should never, ever say. You should never say the words ever. If you are married, I want a divorce. You should never say, I reject you. You should never say, I hate you. You should never say, you're ugly, you're fat, you don't get anything right. Any insults of any kind. Because I want to tell you something about that. You know, maybe you're guilty of that. I don't know. I pray not. But often what we say about other people is an inner reflection. Let me help you out. If you tell someone, if I tell Frida, I hate you, do you know what the translation is? I hate myself, Frida. I hate myself. That's a reflection. Where did that come from? It came from hell, but it's what the devil tells me about himself. I heard a quote of T.D. Jakes, and I may have said this on a Monday night. He said this in counseling people who were abusive to their spouses. He said, I have never yet met a man who beat his wife who loved himself. The things that we dish out to other people are a reflection of who we are, our inner self, and we should speak well of God and others. Have you ever heard the saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? I don't know who wrote that, but they were a living fool. They were a walking fool, and I don't know how it ever got into print. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will crush me, will crush every bone, and will crush my heart and break my heart. And there's a difference, because words we speak last a lifetime. And I don't know about you, But most people could use a lot more compliments and a lot less complaints. I know you got a complaint. Maybe you got a complaint by Pastor Ken or myself or Tony or the songs or anybody can think of, well, I don't like this about this. You know what? Why don't you get in there and start being a blessing? You know, it's how it is. Let's speak life-giving words to one another and let God use you out in the marketplace. Sunday is just Sunday. We come, we worship together. You should be out there ministering to people in the marketplace. Everywhere you go, people should know that's a believer walking through. That's someone who's going to encourage me, someone who's going to bless me. Leave people blessed when you leave them, in Jesus' name.
Well, I just want to say amen to that so much that any fool can criticize. Anyone can play that game. Why didn't they do this and why didn't they do that? And that is so unfair and so not what you've been called to do. You are doing the work. You are saying when we are critical of one another, we are giving the devil a vacation day. Take the day off, devil. Do whatever you want because I got this. I'll be taking your place today and I'll be speaking discouragement into people's lives. Why do that? And you say, but look at how messed up their life is. They need your encouragement more than anybody. The person that's all together that you could praise, they don't need it. It's the person that's down. It's the person that's lost everything that needs you to be a true friend. So how many people, we are going to dismiss, but this is important that we cover this. How many of you, out of your own mouth, have prophesied of yourself, I am a loser? Because I will say this to you, you need to reject that, you need to repent of that, that means to turn, and you need to put out that fire and start a new fire, but you need to completely reject any prophecies. An undeserved curse returns to its sender. You are not a loser. If you say nothing works for me, but because the word of God says that you are an overcomer. The word, you say, I have lack. The word of God says that he will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. And the book of James says that out of the same mouth comes, and Pam quoted this. So let me show you how this works. If next time you have a paper clip, take it, like, make it so it's not twisted up, so you just have a straight line. And then what I want you to do, it's made of metal, take your hands and on both ends of that paper clip, pull it apart. Cause it to just pull it apart, just pull straight. There's no one in this church that can do that. It's made of metal, and if you pull straight, it's not going to break. But I can easily break it by bending it both ways. It'll snap after. And your mind, if you speak out, I'm blessed, but you hit the parking lot and say, I'm cursed, you are bending that paperwork, you're going to crack. That's why, it's a fountain and it's supposed to be fresh water. So only speak what he says. So as we pray, we want to reverse the curse, which, by the way, if someone said, sum up the Bible in three words, reverse the curse. That's what it is. That's what Jesus came to do, is reverse. So the prophecy over your own life, wouldn't it be wonderful, Vic, if we were to call you up, we're not going to, but if we were to call up Vic and we just, everybody walked by and prophesy over him, good things. I mean, everybody in this church came by and said, Vic, you're going to make it. Vic, you're blessed. That he would walk away just walking on cloud nine. Now, the reason we're not going to do it is this. You can do that for yourself. Prophet, stand in the front of that mirror and say, I'm a believer. That means I believe. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in the country. Jesus, I can't do it, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And don't listen. So you want me to pray? You want to pray? We're going to.
Sure.
All right. Hey, I like your thing. It says pastor. Oh, you're going to the hospital.
I have to bring, they require that I bring ID today. Never before today of all days. One closing thing. Please don't listen to ugly words said over you. Don't pay attention. If you've got somebody in your life who's prophesying negativity over you, here's the response to give: no response. A couple years ago, I was getting texts that were like, you're just stuck at that little corner church. You don't do nothing. You don't. You know what? Don't listen to that, because you're listening to the enemy. No response. Don't try to argue with it or anything. You just confess, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Let's stand. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for the words that you have spoken over us. You have spoken that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are created in your image. I look like my Father God. I've got my Father's eyes. Father God, I have your DNA, your divine nature, and your anointing, Lord. Your blood flows in my veins, Father God. Lord, I am a child of the King. Father God, these are your people. They're bought with the highest price. We know what you think of us. You think good things of us. You're for us, not against us. You're on our side. You live inside of us. Christ lives inside of us. Father God, nothing is impossible, Father God, to those who love the Lord. Father, we agree that we make a difference in the kingdom. This little corner church, Father God, when we walk out these doors, we're going to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Father God, this is going to be our year of turning everything around, Father God. Use us for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.